Happy Pentecost. So, what might this feast say about your next right step toward maturity in the Lord? I mean, yeah, there's something about the Holy Spirit here. I mean, think about how many Pentecosts you've already celebrated. I think I saw a little kid in here. Yeah, 2 years old. She celebrated two. I've celebrated a bunch. How's that working? Seems to me that this feast and the way that Luke acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the first reading we heard, gives us a picture of purification and empowerment of the 12 and the other disciples. And a way to get at that are just the first couple words from Romans, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. If you are in the flesh, whatever, I can't remember how it goes. Have you got it there? I just went blank on that. When you hear the word flesh, think ego. Thank you. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. And hear the word ego. You are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. So how's that ego thing coming? It's something we all struggle with, right? And the picture given us here raises some questions. How were they prepared? How were the disciples and the 12 prepared? At the end of Luke's Gospel, that's volume 1, going into the Acts of the Apostles, volume 2, the two disciples going away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus encountered them. They didn't recognize him. And he asked them about what they were talking about and drew from them their profound disappointment and disillusionment with what had just happened with Jesus' death and how some members of our company went and they found the tomb empty and they had this rumor of angels, but we didn't believe it. He prepared them by going into their experience of disillusionment and disappointment, and then spoke the words, "Fully, O foolish and slow of heart, to not believe all that the prophets, Moses and the prophets, have said about why the Messiah had to suffer so to enter into his glory." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he opened to them this mystery. And their response was, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he taught us on the way and opened our minds to the Scriptures?" That's the preparatory stuff that leads to Pentecost. It just doesn't happen out of the blue. Our part is to answer the question, how do we deal with our sometimes profound disillusionment about ourselves, about God, about others, and about the church? About the state of the world. How do we deal with that? Well, like these two characters, they just said, "Forget it. We're out of here." But it was on that way that Christ encountered them and opened their hearts and minds to the meeting of the Scriptures, and their hearts burned within them. Maybe there's a connection with the tongues of flame there, eh? Okay. Three things about that reading in terms of the language. There's an odd little word here in Greek. It says there came from heaven a sound like the rush of a violent wind. But the word pone in Greek is translated throughout the rest of the Bible as breath. Genesis chapter 2, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Not only is this a picture of recreation that's going on here, but a better translation would be something about the breath of God coming to the people to invigorate them. But it is translated better, a violent wind. And it describes the kind of wind that opened the sea for the people at the Red Sea so that they could cross and not be killed by the Egyptians, so that they could leave the land of slavery. That's the kind of wind that blew then and here. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Usually we see pictures of them kneeling, but the Greek is, kathemai. Sitting is a key little word in Luke's gospel. Chapter 1. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's the picture of sitting. And divided tongues of fire rested on each. The amerizo, divided tongues. Jesus uses this a lot in Luke. Do you think I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. The tongues of fire were divided. Tongues as of fire. Fire is an interesting thing in Luke's gospel because early on, John the Baptist is saying, talking about the coming of the Messiah, saying, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is their baptism. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is about purification. In the Old Testament, the use of the Greek word pur for fire often, especially in the prophets, talks about purification. It's the fire of God's wrath. But what if they mistook purification for wrath? What if purification is what God does and we take it the wrong way? So, submit for your reflection. This feast is about purification. And for us, it's two things, readiness and willingness. What am I going to do with my disappointment and disillusionment about the world, about life, about my family, about myself, about blah, 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 fill in the blanks? Am I ready and willing to be encountered by the Word? The Holy Spirit just didn't come and wipe out their wills here, but transform them through the purifying power of fire. And willingness. Am I willing to be purified of my demand that all the world, including the Holy Spirit, merely reflect my worldview and my comfort zone? Am I so addicted to my worldview and comfort zone that I'm going to block and put up obstacles to the Spirit of God? Well, the answer is yes, because that's what we do best in order to protect our precious and terrible vulnerability. And what the Spirit seemed to purify was fear. What would it look like if we were not afraid? What then would we do? Am I willing to surrender the ways I win my self-esteem from others and gain and ensure my security in the world? In other words, protect my comfort zone. What the disciples did here was completely, strongly against what they had done before, which was to work for division, you know, telling people not to preach in the name of Christ, and to be very afraid. And the Spirit's coming sent them with the capacity to speak to people as they were, in their native language. They weren't afraid. So what's our next step as the people of God? Instead of talking about what we need to do or must do, or those dreadful things like should do and all that stuff like that, which don't work. It's only a matter of projecting an intention that keeps us noble in our own minds and living in pretense. If the people to whom they spoke could be met where they were, if the two disciples going away from Jerusalem to Emmaus could be met where they were, can we not be met where we are? By the marvelously scary and joyful purification of the Holy Spirit. What's our next step? About readiness and about willingness to be met and called forth from our comfort zones. Just to leave you this. That scares the heck out of me. How do we pray as people who resist and are scared, just like the disciples, and sing and pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, send us your Spirit." So may the Feast of Pentecost open for us the next right step to take, to be immersed in the Spirit of God. God bless you and happy feast.